Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Now, as you've been hearing in the news headlines, there are 651 admitted patients waiting for a hospital bed in Irish hospitals today. That's according to the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, with University Hospital Limerick being the worst affected. HSE Chief Operations Officer Damien McCallion said there continues to be increased year-on-year attendances to emergency departments as well as ongoing respiratory illnesses. Well, we're joined now by Professor Conor Deasy, who's President of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine and also a consultant in emergency medicine. And you're very welcome, Conor, to the programme this evening. We might start with where you are, which is Cork, and what's the situation like there?
So it's very difficult for patients there, and it's very difficult for staff as well, who are faced with seeing patients during their shifts not moving on into inpatient beds like they should. So we've got frail elderly who are vulnerable, who are stuck on the corridor of our department here, who need to be an inpatient bed, need the safety of an inpatient bed, need the care associated with an inpatient bed, and they're being deprived that, and that's not good. This isn't my first time on this radio show to complain about exactly the same thing. There is a shortage of inpatient bed capacity throughout the country, particularly in Cork, but throughout the country, and we can't shy away from that. We've seen a bed capacity review published 5 years ago, and we still haven't seen cranes on COH site or other sites around the country building new acute beds. We know we need them. There's nothing going to change the fact that we need them. We've got the highest population since the famine. We've got the oldest we've got an aging population, which is a cause for celebration. But these people need the dignity of an inpatient bed when they get sick. And it's inpatient beds, and they need beds to get out to into the community once their acute episode is over, and they have neither at the moment. And it's terrible for them.
We were speaking an awful lot about this issue in December, January, and even early February, because there was a real crisis, and perhaps it's still a real crisis, but there was certainly a lot of focus on what was going on in our hospitals and overcrowding at the time. Did it ever let up? The government and the HSE did introduce some measures to try and alleviate the situation. Did the pressure ever let up?
So if the numbers of inpatients in the emergency department increases or decreases by 20%, that's good in terms of the numbers, but we're still faced with patients who are on corridors, who are frail, who are vulnerable, despite what would appear to be relative improvements. And there is fluctuance across those numbers, but they never go away. And that's a problem. The only solution to this is a significant transformational investment such that there are beds in our acute hospitals and beds in our community. There is no doubt that putting the Sláinte Care consultant contract in place will improve the flow of patients through the hospital. We've had emergency medicine consultant posts that we are recruiting, and some of them have come on board, and they do make a difference in terms of seeing patients and making early decisions. But we need the consultant group, the consultants who are treating these patients, need to have a place to see these patients. It's like, so at the moment, there is no space to do what is required when the patient comes into the emergency department, and the hospitals too are congested and overcrowded such that we're not getting the value for money out of the consultants that we should be getting, because they don't have the space to work in.
I know that Minister Stephen Donnelly, when you're talking about the need for acute beds, he has said research has shown that 2,400 acute beds were needed. He said 1,000 of those had been provided, and the rest are, you know, on the way as such.
Sure. Well, so our lived experience is that there is we haven't seen the builders come on site here building new beds, new wards. We haven't seen the materialisation of extra beds that we need to see happen. And it's only then that we're going to not be in this continuous permanent crisis, speaking this media cycle of reporting how dire things are for our patients, for our citizens. Nobody is immune to this, by the way. Whether you pay health insurance or not doesn't help you when you have your stroke or when you have your heart attack or when you have your car crash or when you fall off your ladder or when so this affects all of us. Mm-hmm. And the potential of any of us to have to present to an emergency department is there. And we should therefore invest in this. We are we're doing well as an economy. We should be prioritizing this for the benefit of all citizens.
As you say, we're sort of bouncing from crisis to crisis, or perhaps permanent crisis, as you're calling it. I think there was a feeling that what we saw over Christmas, last Christmas, was perhaps the worst we'd ever seen, because we had what was being described as this perfect storm of respiratory illnesses, along with the hospital overcrowding that we often get, along with flu and all of that. And we saw how that played out. But now we're seeing these warnings about St. Patrick's Day at a time when I know St. Patrick's Day is always very busy and the festival is always very busy for hospitals. But coming into this sort of season, you generally expect hospital waiting lists and overcrowding to perhaps start to fall. How do you see this year playing out? Are we just going to bounce from warnings to warnings throughout the summer and then into a really bad winter again?
Well, we have done, last summer did felt like winter. And our experience as well is that with COVID and CPE and norovirus, these are infection control issues, and they require a certain type of infrastructure. They require patients to be in single rooms. They require that when a patient comes in off an ambulance, they go into a single space. And we're not able to provide that at the moment with the current infrastructure that is in our hospitals. It is just not fit for purpose. It is not safe. We can't deliver safe care in the current infrastructure that is at our hospitals. Needs to be an investment, and a significant one.
No matter what happens then, in your view, this year, that really you can't improve the situation, because what you're talking about is going to take longer than a couple of months, or even probably a couple of years. We've seen how long it's taken, for example, to build the children's hospital. You know, these things take an awful lot of time.
Yeah, and there has been a delay to a meaningful commitment to the infrastructure bills that are required. And we need to see that. The citizens deserve to hear that there is a meaningful commitment to building the infrastructure requirements associated with delivering care in 2023 and beyond. And we're not seeing that. Now, there is no question that investing in staff will yield results, but you have to also invest in the infrastructure in which that staff is required to work in order to see the benefit.
Yeah, because I know, again, like I said, Stephen Donnelly has said that more than 900 acute beds have been delivered since 2020. And he's also said that the government is delivering several thousand additional beds that have been called for in the 2018 Health Service Capacity Review, more quickly than the review even calls for.
Sure, but we're not keeping up with demand, and we are starting at a very low base.
Is that the idea? The 2018 review from the Health Service Executive telling us how much we need?
I mean,
that's out of date in your view?
Like 5 years, we hadn't even heard of COVID 5 years ago. We didn't have the same requirements around infection. We weren't mindful in the same way as we are now of the infection control requirements of the infrastructure in which we provide care. So, absolutely. But we didn't deliver on the bed capacity review that was written and published 5 years ago. We can't have this duration of implementation time. It doesn't work that way. Things change. It's a dynamic healthcare environment, and things move on and change, and they need to be continuously updated. But we didn't deliver on the one 5 years ago, so we're behind the eighth ball on this.
We did ask the HSE for a statement in relation to how they're addressing some of these concerns, and they sent us this response. They said, emergency departments continue to be extremely busy with high numbers of patients attending who require admission. Regretfully, this means that patients who attend EDs for routine and non-urgent treatment may experience long waiting times. This weekend, senior clinical decision makers will be on site at hospitals and will continue to utilise private hospitals, nursing homes and other private facilities to ensure discharges for those deemed clinically appropriate. We'll also keep working with community colleagues to discharge patients to a step-down bed or facility or home. And over St. Patrick's Day Bank Holiday weekend, the HSE is encouraging the public to consider all care options before attending emergency departments. Just a final word to you, Conor, on the discharging of patients, because Damien McCallion from the HSE, speaking to Brian Dobson earlier, made a big point of that aspect of things to try and relieve the pressure that there are patients in hospitals waiting to be discharged. And if there can be a push on that, it could really help. What do you think of that?
Well, generally speaking, the reasons patients can't get discharged is either because they're too sick to be discharged, or because the place that they're to be discharged to isn't safe for them to be discharged into. And it's not for want of senior clinical decision makers going around and rounding on the patient and saying this patient is ready to go home. That happens all the time. And the delays to discharge are not due to senior clinical decision makers obfuscating on their responsibilities. They are to do with the availability of a safe space, place, home situation or step-down facility
perhaps?
To bring that patient to.
Could it be a bit of both?
A bit of what? A bit
that there are not consultants or senior decision makers, as you say, maybe working on a Saturday or a Sunday that could help with the discharging?
There are consultants working throughout the 7 days of the week. There are consultants rounding here at weekends. I'm here with them. There is nobody that could be discharged that's not discharged. But the problem around discharging is having a safe place for them to be discharged to. And that's not always available at weekends. So, I think that's an important message, that throwing consultants at this isn't going to resolve the problem. The resolution of the problem is around physical beds, infrastructure investment in our acute hospitals and in our step-down and community services. And this requires the Department of Finance to support the Department of Health such that we get this investment.
Professor Conor Deasy, President of the Irish Association for Emergency Medicine, thank you very much for joining us.